As Ramona and the cast acknowledge the applause, Mr. Craney steps forward to make an introduction.
Well, no, Mr. Taylor. Miracle Whip was introduced, and only a short time ago at that. Yet today, it's America's favorite salad dressing, the favorite of millions of men and women. Why? Because it's so delicious, because it's so good. Miracle Whip is not too bland, nor too sharp, nor too oily. It has a just right taste all its own. Familiar, yet entirely new. For Miracle Whip is an exclusive combination of the fine ingredients of finest mayonnaise and true old-fashioned boiled dressing. Whipped to a fluffy smoothness, so creamy, so delicious. Hundreds of thousands, millions of women are using Miracle Whip salad dressing created by Kraft. Many have told us they prefer it to mayonnaise, and yet it actually costs less. Regardless of price, however, they tell us they would still prefer Miracle Whip. You'll enjoy your favorite salad more than ever with Miracle Whip. Try it. Get a jar from your grocer or at your market first thing tomorrow morning.
Now we present Lee Wiley in a dramatic sketch entitled A Summer Romance. The scene is the lobby of a fashionable seashore resort hotel. The time, an evening early in September. Miss Wiley plays the part of Peggy Lynn, the hotel switchboard operator, who was just getting ready to quit the day shift and turn over her plugs and earphones to Mabel, the night operator. As the curtain rises, Peggy is stage center at the switchboard behind the information desk.
Hello, hello. Seacrest Hotel. One moment, please. Seacrest Hotel. The line is busy, sir. Thank you. Yes, madam, you are connected. Oh, hello, Mabel.
Come on, Peggy. Take off the earphones and let little Mabel take the board.
I thought you'd never get here.
Oh, yes, sir. I'm 5 minutes ahead of time, sweetheart. Oh, and there's a swell moon on the water, and I have to work just my luck. Oh, you look dressed up. Date with a boyfriend, Peg?
You guessed it. And I have a feeling this is going to be my last night on the job.
Last night on the job? Well, what do you mean, Peg? You won't be here tomorrow morning?
No more 6 o'clock reliefs. No more switchboard. No more foolish questions. No more wrong numbers. Tomorrow afternoon, I'll be on my way to New York.
Oh, how come, darling? Don't tell me it's love.
Yes, this is my first real love affair, Mabel.
Go on. These summer romances don't last beyond September, as a rule.
But ours will. Ours will last forever.
That's a long stretch, dearie.
He's the sweetest, most adorable boy in the world. And I do love him. I don't care who knows it.
Gee, you've been bitten hard. Hey, how long has this been going on, Ducky?
Since the beginning of the month.
Ah, now listen, Peggy. You're a sweet kid. And I hope he's the right one for you. But you're just a telephone operator in a big hotel. And these summer Romeos sometimes get the idea that we're part of the amusements.
But not David. He's not that kind. He's honest and serious and ambitious. He just graduated from college and he's going in his father's business in the fall.
Yeah, but are you sure he loves you?
Of course. He's practically told me that he loves me.
It's always wise to get it in writing, honey.
And tomorrow he's going home. So tonight is going to be the night.
I see. Well, drop in before you leave and say goodbye. And, Peg, I wish you luck. Oh, Hotel Secret. Yes, madam, one moment, please. Hey, Peg, there's your boyfriend coming in the lobby. All dressed up like a sore finger.
Oh, do I look all right, Mabel?
Like a bride, dearie, like a bride.
I'll have to be going. Goodbye, dear.
Coming, David.
I guess I'm a few minutes late, but... Oh, you look sweet, honey.
Like me?
Do I?
Just as I am?
Just as you are. It's a wonderful night, and it's going to be ours, every last minute of it. I thought we'd drive out to Wendell's on the Point for supper. Then we can dance or sit on the pier and watch the moon. Come on, Peg, let's go. Nice out here on the pier, isn't it?
Oh, it's lovely. That golden path on the water and the surf gentle and regular, like a great heartbeat.
I wish it could always be like that, Peg. But now, well, I've got to buckle down to work and start my career.
You needn't look so worried about it. Well, you're lucky to have a career to buckle down to. What's wrong, David? You act so strangely tonight.
Well, having a career means putting aside your own private hopes and ambitions, following the pattern that's expected of you, so that the big things that really matter will go on.
I always thought the things that really matter to people were their own private hopes and ambitions.
Only it doesn't work out that way, Peg. That's why I wanted to take this last night of the summer to, well, to try and make you understand.
But understand what, Dave?
You've probably heard me speak of Lucille Chadwick. She's just come home from Europe. We grew up together, and her father's my father's partner in the business. And we, well, it's sort of been expected that someday we'd... Oh, Peg, I don't want to hurt you.
Hurt me? Dale!
I wanted to spare you the shock, that's all. You might see it in the papers that we're engaged.
It's Dale.
Please don't look so.
Go on, David. Say it. Don't torture me by saying only part of it. Please tell me.
That's all part of the heartbreak of putting aside my own hopes and ambition for the sake of that thing they call a career. We're going to be married in the fall.
Oh.
Please don't cry.
Oh, don't. Don't put your arms around me. I can't stand that, David. But I'm not crying. What made you think I was crying? And you don't have to try so hard to say anymore. I understand.
Do, dear?
Of course I do. I knew this glorious summer had to come to an end. I'm only sorry it had to end on a night like this. I know you have your career and all the things that really matter. And I know I'm just somebody to dance with. Somebody to make your vacation music.
Peg, that isn't fair.
Fair? I hope you didn't think I took it seriously. I hope you didn't think I believed all the sweet and tender things you said. I hope you didn't think I was some silly girl romancing about her first love affair. I hope you didn't think I loved you.
Peg, listen to me.
No, don't say any more, David. I'm so glad the summer's over. Leave me alone, please. Leave me by myself. Say only goodbye.
I'm sorry, but I have to say goodbye.
I wonder why you came to me. You brought such a flame to me. Why did you let it die? And if another love should find my heart, what's the good of it? It will always remind me of you.
Sea-Crest Hotel. Good morning. Number, please. Yes, sir. It's 5 minutes to 6. Coffee shop opens at 6:30. You're welcome. Sea-Crest Hotel.
Oh, hello, Peggy. Good morning, Mabel.
Well, what are you doing up so early? Why, I thought you'd be packing your...
Oh, what's the matter, Peg?
Oh, come on. Now, here, sit down. You've been crying.
I'll take the earphones. I guess you were right. I'm just a telephone operator. And the summer always comes to an end.
Ah, never you mind, darling. There'll be other summers and other loves. There always are.
I know. But the first is always so...
Yeah, I know. So hard to forget. But you'll forget, Peg.
No, I'll never forget. Never. If I love again, though it's someone new, if I love again, it will still be you. In someone else's fond embrace, I'll close my eyes and see your face. If I love again, I'll find another chance. But I'll make believe you
My heart will not be true. I'll be loving you every time I love again. I often wonder why you came to me, brought such a flame to me, then let it die. And if another love should find my heart, it will remind my heart of your goodbye. With every new love that comes that you meet, in other eyes, it's you I see. If I love again, though it's someone new, if I love again, it will still be you. In someone else's fond embrace, I'll close my eyes and see your face. If I love again, I'll find other charms. But I may believe you are in my arms, and though my lips whisper I love you, my heart will not be true. I'll be loving you every time I love.
Oscar rises again to view. The spotlight picks up an isolated platform upon which is a grand piano and lights up the lonely and majestic figure seated at the keyboard with his tie under one ear. It is Roy Bargee, and one of the mysteries of the English language is that you can refer to Mr. Bargee either as no mean piano player or a mean piano player and be right in both instances. Accompanied by the orchestra, Mr. Bargee is going to play a composition by Adolf Deutsch entitled Clarabelle. time of year when those of us who have what they call country estates get away from the city as often as possible in order to go up and watch the tent caterpillars eating the apple trees. I was out in Connecticut last Sunday morning buying some supplies at Hollow and Schofield's general store in Hunting Ridge. And I was talking to Mr. Schofield, the proprietor. You know, he said that's a good program you've got. Yes, I said, eagerly, waiting for some mention of my own contribution to the performance. Yes, he said, I like that new girl of yours. What's her name? Helen Jepson.
Oh, I said.
Yes, he continued, now there's a good singer. No effort at all. Just stands there and lets the noise come out. And so tonight, Miss Jepson's going to let some more noise come out. Assisted by the Reading Men's Chorus and Paul Whiteman's orchestra, she's going to sing the Italian street song from Victor Herbert's operetta, Naughty Marietta. Boy, do you realize you're standing on the stage of the Kraft Music Hall?
Yes, Mr. Taylor, but I can't sit down, sir, because I have to find Mr. Claney. Mr. Claney! Mr. Claney! Telegram!
Yes, here I am, boy. Thanks. I'll read it right here. Mr. Howard Claney, Kraft Music Hall. Miracle Whip salad dressing, truly delicious. Stop. Bought first jar yesterday. Second jar tomorrow morning. Stop. Now understand why there are millions of users of Miracle Whip salad dressing. Stop. Many thanks to Kraft for making Miracle Whip. Thanks to you for telling about it. Signed, Housewife. Boy, have you got a blank?
Yes, sir.
Got a pencil?
Yes, sir.
All right, take this wire. Housewives, USA and Canada, all thanks due you for immediate reception of Miracle Whip. We agree it is truly delicious. Recommend its use not only on salads, but on vegetables, fish, meats. Stop. Remember, Miracle Whip actually costs less than mayonnaise. Stop. Tomorrow morning, ask your grocer for a jar of Miracle Whip salad dressing. Insist you get it. There is no substitute. Signed, Howard Claney, for the Kraft Phoenix Cheese Corporation. There you are.
I'll send it right away, sir. Goodbye, Mr. Claney.
Goodbye.
Hello, Mr. Taylor. Another time I'll take you for a ride on my bike.
There are a few of you in the Army or out of it who don't know what that is. Reveille, the bugle call that has reminded so many millions of weary doughboys that it's time to get up. And that call and the poppies that you've been buying this week to aid American war veterans are a reminder that Memorial Day is approaching, the day on which we pay tribute to those who lost their lives in the service of their country. And tonight the orchestra is going to play a special Memorial Day arrangement of the airs that all soldiers know and sing. You will not find very many patriotic airs among them. Soldiers, as a rule, are too busy living patriotism and dying it to have much time to sing about it. When they do sing, they generally choose simple, popular ballads. There's a long, long trail, dear old pal of mine. It's a long way to Tipperary, Madelon, and over there. These you will hear and others. And as this selection begins with reveille, it will end with taps, the bugle call that has meant sleep to so many soldiers, living and dead. A Memorial Day overture played by Paul Whiteman and his orchestra.
rises upon the auditorium of the Ladies' Thursday Evening Culture Club, where in the joint appearance with Paul Whiteman's orchestra, the eminent musicologist, Dr. Deans Taylor, is about to deliver one of his famous lecture recitals on musical appreciation. Dr. Taylor.
Good evening, ladies. Tonight we shall study a musical instrument that is known as the good fairy of the orchestra, the oboe. The oboe is a small, black, mean-looking instrument played by means of a double ring. The story of its invention is an interesting one. It is said that one day in the early part of the 4th century, a German wandering minstrel named Ungeheuer was lying in a meadow blowing on a blade of grass. This produced the following sound. He then placed the grass over the end of his fountain pen, producing the following sound, and discovered that he had invented a new instrument. It was first known as the Ungeheuer Atmenspfeife, but as this name interfered with its popularity, it was later renamed in honor of its inventor's profession. To this day, the German name for the instrument is hobo. The Italians, being a more emotional people, call it oboe. The tone of the oboe is a distinctive one. It can readily be distinguished, for example, from that of the bass tuba. The tuba sounds like this. Whereas the oboe sounds like this. The oboe, as you can readily perceive, is higher. One feature of the oboe is the fact that the reed must be kept wet, so that the player must keep it in his mouth at all times, giving him somewhat the appearance of a man having his temperature taken. This is one reason why all oboe players are said to be crazy. Another reason is that anybody who would play the oboe must be crazy. Another feature of the oboe is the fact that it cannot be tuned. This is why the oboe is used to sound the A when the other instruments of the orchestra are tuning up. Let me illustrate. Gentlemen, will you show them how you tune up? Thank you, gentlemen. Thank you. In some instances, of course, the other instruments are unable to tune up to the oboe, in which case it is advisable to fire the oboe player and get one who has a lower oboe. There are two usual sizes of oboe. One is the oboe. The other, sounding a fifth lower, is the English horn. This is called the English horn because it was invented in France and does not sound like a horn. Its tone is soothing and mellow, somewhat resembling the remarks of a cow deprived of her breakfast. It is therefore particularly suited to music of a sad and melancholy character, such as the following. Thank you. Duets for the oboe and English horn are not uncommon. In fact, as an added attraction tonight, I have the pleasure of introducing Mr. Charles Strickfaden of Paul Whiteman's orchestra, who, after 4 years of incessant practice, has succeeded in playing the following duet for oboe and English horn, single-handed. Thank you, Mr. Strickfaden. There are many uses of the oboe in orchestral literature. There is, for example, the famous oboe passage from Wagner's Fire Music. Thank you. The equally famous oboe solo in Rimsky-Korsakov's Russian Easter. And lastly, the celebrated passage in The Dance of the Demons from Orpheus in the Underworld. As we play this passage, ladies, I would like you to pay particular attention to the oboe part and to notice how well it blends with the ensemble without ever interfering with the tone of the other instruments. Mr. Whiteman, if you please. A couple of weeks ago, as you may remember, we introduced into this music hall a young baritone who is known by no other name than the Mystery Singer. Since he always appears masked, there has been considerable speculation as to who he might be, several people having gone so far as to suggest that he may be Paul Whiteman himself. This, I think, is improbable. In the first place, I've heard Mr. Whiteman sing. In the second place, what Mr. Whiteman wears is not a mask, but his own face. Whoever he may be, the mystery singer is with us again tonight. He is on the stage now as soloist with the Reading Men's Chorus under the direction of Willie Richter in a performance with Paul Whiteman's orchestra of Edvard Grieg's cantata, Land Sighting.
Randolph, society editor of the New York Daily News. She's talking to a friend. Let's listen to what they're saying.
This is fun, isn't it? Well, I know half the people here tonight.
Yes, and imagine hearing and seeing all these famous celebrities that are in the Kraft Music Hall.
They really do a beautiful job with this show.
Oh, yes.
I think the Kraft people are to be congratulated.
Tell me, Nancy, confidentially, what do you think of Miracle Whip? Have you tried it?
Oh, heavens, yes. I use it all the time at home. And you know at this season of the year, I attend dozens of smart wedding receptions and consume literally gallons of chicken salad, in which I almost always detect the taste of Miracle Whip.
Why don't you try it?
Oh, here comes our car, Nancy. Well, I'm certainly going to buy a jar of Miracle Whip tomorrow.
Yes, buy a jar of Miracle Whip the first thing tomorrow morning, and then after one taste, you too will agree with the millions of users that Miracle Whip salad dressing is truly delicious. A message to our Canadian friends. All Kraft products sold in Canada are made in Canada. This is Howard Craney closing the music hall and saying goodnight.
The selection of Italian street songs brought out this program is from Norby Marietta. This is the National Broadcasting Company.